Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, that he tested him and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. Here's the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mouth of the Lord it shall be seen, or it shall be provided. What a great passage of Scripture this is, just as the passage stands alone. We know Isaac is Abraham's son, the son of his old age, the son that he waited for so long, and that son that the Lord gave him and Sarah when they were far beyond normal childbearing years. But the Lord miraculously gave Abraham and Sarah his son Isaac. But here you see a passage that deals with Abraham giving up this long-awaited for son, giving him unto the Lord, obeying, seeking to be in obedience to his Lord, to such an extent that he would actually give up his own son in obedience to him. I was thinking about this passage, have been thinking about it, and we've dealt with it before. It's not a new passage, but it is a wonderful passage, and will not exhaust it even just now. When I was reading it, I had a couple more thoughts come to my mind about what was said here by the Lord. But what I want us to consider this morning is that God spared Isaac, didn't he? God spared Isaac. But you know what? God did not spare his own son. He did not spare his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, Romans 8:32, he says, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God did not spare. He spared Abraham's son here, but he did not spare his own son. Instead, he delivered him up for all of his people. In Isaiah 53:10 it said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise his son. He hath put him to grief. And it goes on to say that he made his soul an offering for sin. God chose to deliver Isaac. It pleased the Lord to free Isaac, but God chose not to spare his son, his only son. He chose not to spare his son, but it pleased the Lord to bruise him. As I thought about this, I realized what a glorious thing this is. What a glorious God the Lord Jehovah is. Because it says that he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. He delivered him up for us. What a glorious God the Lord Jehovah is. No wonder his name is to be hallowed. He is holy. He is other than any other God. He is glorious. I begin to ask myself, why would God have done such a thing, and why would he have displayed this thing unto us as he has here in the scripture? And I want us to consider a few answers to this question. Why did God spare Isaac, but not his own son? Why did God spare Isaac and not his own son? And I want us to consider four answers to that question. First, he spared Isaac to show Abraham his wonderful grace. He spared Isaac to show Abraham his wonderful grace. Now, Abraham was a man who God had blessed greatly. Abraham, at this point, was well up into age. He had seen many things about the Lord Jehovah. He knew something about the Lord Jehovah. He knew his ways. He knew his justice. He knew something about the Lord's righteousness. I tell you something else he knew. He knew his hatred for sin. You remember, he knew what happened down there in Sodom at this time. He knew that God hated sin. Abraham might have lived many years in a pagan land in his youth, but at this point, God had been good to him and had blessed him with some real understanding of some real truth. So when God called Abraham and told him to take his son Isaac and to offer him up, as he told him in verse 2, to offer him up as a burnt offering, Abraham knew that this was a serious thing. Abraham knew that at some level, he knew that this was an offering for sin. He knew what the burnt offering was. That was an offering for sin. He knew that it was serious, and he knew that God was serious about sin. And when he went to that mount, and he laid his son upon that altar, he knew God was just. That's how he could do it. That's why he did it. That's the reason we see the obedience here. He knew that God was just. If he was going to judge his son for his sins, for Isaac's sins, he knew that God was right. He had seen that young man grow up. Isaac was not a baby here. He was probably a teenager, even in his late teens. He had seen him sin, surely. Being a father, if you're a father, you know, you see the sins of your children. He knew that God would be just in judging him for his sins. He knew that he would be right. But you know what his hope was? We find this out in Hebrews chapter 11. His hope, his faith lied in the fact that God, he believed God would then resurrect his son. Because he told Abraham that in his seed would all the nations be blessed, and they would outnumber the sands of the sea. See, so for that to happen, he knew that, listen, if God's going to do that, I might have to lay down my son, but I believe that God can and he will resurrect him, bring him up from the dead. It tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11. What I'm trying to get at it is this. When God called out of heaven and said, stop, Abraham. When he called his name, Abraham, 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 Abraham knew when he stopped him that this was a divine act of divine grace. This was God acting in grace towards him. This was God acting in unmerited favor towards him. When God chose to spare Isaac, and he called out to Abraham, 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 what mercy, what grace is displayed there. How the soul of Abraham must have rejoiced. God chose to show Abraham his wonderful grace that moment. Isaac, God would have been right to judge Isaac. But Abraham stopped him. Or God stopped Abraham. And he spared him. What grace God did show the man Abraham at that point. Second, why did God choose to pardon Isaac? In pardoning Isaac, God was showing Abraham, secondly, his power. God's power. He was showing Abraham his power. That journey, you know, had been made all the way to Mount Moriah. 3 days is what it tells us in the passage. All the preparation had been made. The altar had been built, the wood, the fire, the sacrifice, even the knife had been raised, and the driving intention of Abraham, which was obedience to God, was about to be carried out. Even Isaac was bowed to the Father's will, to his Father's will, as he laid himself down on that wood of altar. You see, there was no one or nothing that could deliver Isaac from that end. No one. Everything was prepared. Everything was in the course of action. The knife had been raised. Isaac was about to be slain. No one could stop it but one. No one could stop it but God. But he came through, didn't he? He came through. Jehovah was Abraham's only hope and Isaac's only hope. But what a perfect hope he was. Abraham, Abraham, don't do anything to your son. Stop in your tracks. He came through. Behold the power of God to deliver when no one or nothing else can. He can. Thirdly, in sparing Isaac, God was showing Abraham his son. God was showing Abraham God's son. You hear that? In sparing Isaac, God was showing Abraham God's son, his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham, it says there that he lifted up his eyes off of Isaac, and over there in the thicket, God showed him a ram caught by the horns. God provided for him that day a substitute for Isaac. Notice we see here that because God is holy and because he is just, the offering for sin still had to be made. He didn't just leave it off. It still had to be made, but God spared Isaac. And in his place, in the stead of Isaac, as it says in verse 13, on that altar was placed the ram that was caught by the horns. You know, it says there, Isaac asked Abraham, where's the lamb? I see the wood, I see all the preparation, but where's the lamb? And it says that God would provide himself a lamb. I'm going a little further ahead of myself, but there he was in that ram. There he is. I say, well, I can't, what do you mean there he is in that ram caught in the thicket? There's the type. There's the lamb. Worthy is the lamb. There he is. He's the ram caught in the thicket. The lamb of great power that God provided as a substitute for Isaac is the picture, a type, a shadow of the lamb of God of great power that God provided as a substitute for sin, a substitute for sinners. He's the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He too was caught by the horns. You might say, well, how's that so? How was he caught by the horns? Horns is a symbol of power. Where was the power of Christ? The power of Christ is in his deity. In the fact that he was God eternal. But yet Christ, God, sparing not his own son, he laid aside the power of his deity. He didn't lay aside his deity. But he laid aside the power of his deity to be made a substitute for sinners. To taste death for sinners. So he laid aside the power of his deity to be made for his soul to be made an offering for sin. He is that ram caught by the horns. what a sight Abraham saw. How his heart must have rejoiced as he looked over there and saw God's appointed substitute that day. His son was coming up off that altar. And there was another that would take his place. And what did he tell his son? God would provide himself a sacrifice. There he is. What a sight he saw as God showed him his own son. Fourth, in God sparing Isaac, God showed Abraham the sufficiency of his son, the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean? Simple as this. Isaac got up. Isaac was free. Isaac was rejoicing. We have the account of Isaac's life long past Genesis chapter 22. He got up. The substitute was suitable. The substitute was sufficient. The substitute was all that God required. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What perfect salvation that He provides for sinners. A perfect substitute. Now I just kind of run through these four things that God showed Abraham on this day on Mount Calvary, but that's because we're not through. Abraham and Isaac, you see, weren't the only ones that God had a lesson for that day. But this lesson is for us too. This lesson is for all who have been saved and all who will yet be saved. All of God's elect children. Now we all should know as we look at this type, as we look at Isaac there laying on that altar, that too is a picture of Christ. It's a picture of Him. But you know what? It's also a picture of us. It's a type, a shadow of us. Now how can it be a picture of Christ and a picture of us at the same time? You want to know how? Because God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. That's how. He took our place. He took our curse, just as Isaac was laid there as a sacrifice for sin. You see, that's our rightful place. That's our rightful place to be laid there as a sacrifice for sin. If we want to talk about fair, if we want to talk about our just deserve, we should be a continual sacrifice for sin. An eternal sacrifice for sin. It still wouldn't pay the debt. You see, as Isaac lay there, that's us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. God demands payment for breach against His justice. And we have all breached it grievously. There's not one here or not one who may hear my voice who has not sinned against God and become worthy of His judgment. His justice has gone out. It must because He's holy and righteous. Look at the picture here. Here we lay. Look at Isaac laying upon that altar. Look at the knife raised to slay him. And there you will see us, in and of ourselves, condemned with the knife of God's justice raised up over us. Now the world don't want to think of us like that. We don't want to think of us like that. But that's the truth. That's the picture that this is proclaiming here. We see ourselves in Isaac. They're laid as an offering for sin because we sinned against God. They're laid with the knife of God's justice up over us. Remember, when God called out to Abraham, He was showing him His grace. When He stopped him, He was showing him grace. He was showing him unmerited favor. So what did that mean Isaac deserved? He deserved the knife to be plunged into his heart to become an offering for sin. How will we escape the terror of the justice of a holy God? How will we escape it? Might it please the Lord to show us, as He did Abraham and Isaac, the one way that we can escape that such terror? How can we escape the wrath of God that abides upon us all as natural-born men, women, boys, and girls? There's one way, and it's right here. You know what it is? God's grace. God's grace. We don't deserve to be saved from that knife. There is nothing in us that would say to God, he or she doesn't deserve it. Nothing in us. There's no merit in us. There's no abilities that we might have. There's no goodness in us. There's no attributes. There's no works that we can perform that would tell God that we don't deserve his just wrath. That none of it would erase our sin. All the things that we might put together that we think we might can do and we might outweigh our sin, none of them will stand up to God's standards. None of them. All of it says guilty. All of it says guilty. Just like that man we looked at this morning in that parable. He couldn't do anything to be clothed. He was guilty. He was unclothed. Except for the grace of God and His divine mercy, there is no hope for us because we're sinners. We've rebelled against Him. We've rebelled against our Creator. We've committed insurrection against Him. Learn this lesson, though, here in this passage. There's no hope in you to escape the knife of God's justice. But learn this lesson here. There is hope in God's grace. There is hope in God's grace. Didn't Abraham see it? Yeah. He had the knife raised to plunge it into the heart of his own son. Everything was on course for that to happen. Another couple seconds and it would have happened. But God, in His grace, stopped him. That's our only hope. That God in His grace would stop that knife of His justice. That's our only hope. His grace. Then God showed Abraham His power. Only God could save Isaac. Learn from this picture here. There we are, bound to the altar of God's justice by the heavy ropes of our sin, by our death. Unable with this sin, and unable in this sin to free ourselves. Unable to exert our will Godward, because our will too is bound by sin and depravity. Unable to claim the good works of our own hands, for God is not pleased with the works of these hands of flesh. Romans 8:8 says, those that are in the flesh cannot please God. Unable. Nothing ahead but judgment for us. Nothing ahead. Look at Isaac there, laying there bound. There was no way that he could free himself. His father wasn't going to free him. His father had the knife raised above him. No hope in and of himself. Who can free us from such a helpless and hopeless state? What did Abraham and Isaac learn there on that hill that day? Only God could free Isaac. Only God could free Isaac. Oh, but He did, didn't He? He did. Only God can deliver us from sin. But I have good news for you this morning. Though we have sinned so grievously against Him, yet He can deliver us. Yet He can stop the justice, His justice. There is no sinner so sinful that God cannot save him. As a matter of fact, if you this morning are a hopeless, miserable, hopeless, and helpless sinner, if you are a sinner condemned to death and you know that, listen to me, you are exactly the kind of sinner that God saves. He saves wretched, miserable sinners that have sinned against their God, that have committed all sorts of rebellion against Him. Sinners that know that there is no hope for them outside of some kind of miracle. That's exactly the kind of sinner that God saves. You see Isaac there laid helpless and hopeless under the knife of God's wrath. There's no hope for him except one place. And that's in God Himself. And so it is with us today. We've sinned against God. His justice has went forth with the knife to slay us. Because the penalty of sin is what? Death. There's no hope to escape that death except one. The same hope that Isaac had. The same hope that Isaac found that day was in God Himself. God can save you from your sin. Quit trying to save yourself. You'll never do it. God can save you from your sin. Quit trying to clean yourself up for God. You'll never clean yourself up for God. God has to do it. But He can. And He will. Only thing that Isaac can do is lay there. Is lay there, bound by those ropes to that altar. And you may think you're free this morning, but if you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not free. You're bound by sin. You're bound by your will. You're bound to death. And apart from the mercy and the grace of God, you'll not know life. But if it would please God to give you life, then you'll know it. Then you'll know it because He can save you from hopelessness. He can save you from helplessness. He can save you from your sin. How does He save such sinners, such wretched and miserable sinners, such sinners that are condemned by their sin before God? How does He save them? Remember what the Lord showed Abraham when he looked up? He saw the ram caught by the horns. Children of God, look up. See the ram caught by the horns. God spared not His own Son. No, He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. He made Him to be sin that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. Look up there to Mount Moriah. You know where Mount Moriah is? It's Mount Calvary. That's where it is. Look up there. You see that? You want to know when the Lord caught that ram in the thicket, where they were and who that was showing? It was, you don't want to think, a lot of people say, I'll throw that Old Testament away. It's no good. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That Mount Moriah is the same place that the Lord Jesus Christ was caught by the horns, was laid upon, crucified on a cross. It's the same place. It's Him. Look up there on Mount Moriah. Look at Mount Calvary. And you'll see God Himself condescending even to the death of the cross. Not for His own sin, but for my sin and for your sin. See Him under the severity of the holy justice of God and know that there is our sacrifice. There is our substitute. God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. Listen, by God's grace, by His power, run to the altar that is Christ and lay hold of the horns. Once they were caught in the thicket, once they were laid down for sin, but the one who was dead is now alive. Lay hold of His ability to satisfy God. You want to be safe from your sin, lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and trust and rest in His ability to satisfy God for you. You'll never satisfy Him. I'll never satisfy Him. But the Lord Jesus Christ has satisfied Him. And the proof of that is, where He's at right now. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ today? He's not dead. That grave that they laid Him in is empty. He's come forth from the grave and He lives and He's ascended into the heavens where He sits at the right hand of God. I believe that. Don't you believe that? I believe that with all my heart. That's the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and these other so-called messiahs and other so-called gods and other so-called saviors. Our Savior was dead, but now He's alive. And He's the only one that sits at the right hand of the Lord Jehovah today, making intercession for us. He satisfied God for those that He laid down His life for. He satisfied Him. We know that because, listen, at the right hand of God today, there is no sin there. There is no unpaid sin there. It's paid. It's finished. The perfect Son of God who came forth overcoming our sin is there in perfection. He's our Savior. He satisfied God for the sake of His people. He spared not His own Son, but delivered him up for us. And the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for his people. Laid it down for his people. Was buried in a tomb. And then on the third day came forth from that grave. He didn't just come forth for that grave so he could go back to heaven. Yeah, he did, but there were reasons that he did that. That was symbolizing and telling us that our sins have been gone, put away from us forever. They're in the grave. Christ paid the penalty for them. The death is over for us. And we're free because of the ability, because of the power, because of the might of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lamb, caught in a thicket. That day on Mount Calvary, when by God's grace and by God's power, Abraham laid hold on the horns of that ram, he learned about the sufficiency of God's Son, didn't he? Isaac learned about the sufficiency of God's Son, didn't he? That lamb took Isaac's place on that altar. That was Isaac's place there. It was our place there, but the Lamb has taken our place. He went there in our stead, instead of us. Isaac was free. What does Scripture say? When the Son shall set you free, you will be free indeed. Lord, show us this lesson. How can we be free from the justice of God against our sin? How can we be free from the heavy ropes of sin that tie us to death? How can we be free from the fires of God's wrath, the King's justice? The same way Isaac could be free, another took his place. There was no working on Isaac's part. He wasn't going to work his way out of that situation. Neither are we. Another had to take his place and bear the wrath of God in his place. Isaac was spared because God spared not his own son. And remember, I said Isaac was also a picture of us. Therefore, we can be saved from our sin. We are spared because another took our place. God spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. What a wonderful thing indeed that God showed Abraham and Isaac on that mount that day. Do you see it for yourself? Has the Spirit of God conveyed the truth of this type and this shadow to you? The truth that salvation is by God's sovereign grace alone. We deserve nothing but His judgment. We sinned against Him. God created us. He has created us and blessed us with breath and life, and we use His blessings to rebel against Him. What wretched sinners we are. And He showed you the truth this morning, that salvation is only by God's power. The picture of us here is Isaac tied to an altar about to be slain. And the reason is sin. You realize in this passage that Isaac didn't even come to his own defense. Why didn't Isaac come to his own defense? Why didn't Isaac wrestle against his father? Isaac was merely a man himself, and Abraham was old in age. You want to know why he didn't? Because this is a picture of truth. That's why he didn't. It's a picture of truth, and we're unable to defend ourselves against the fact that we are sinners. Every act in this flesh and every word in this flesh just proves it. It just confirms it. I don't know about you, but every day it is confirmed to my heart that I am a sinner. Every day, without exception. Have you seen the truth this morning? That salvation, God's salvation for sinners, God's salvation from their sin is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin must be paid for. Sin must be paid for. If you pay for it, you will pay for it through all eternity, because you'll never get the debt paid. But if Christ paid for it, He did so in His life of suffering, in His death on the cross, and did his burial on the tomb, in the tomb. And as we said, that we may know that his payment satisfied the price of sin, which is death. We can look in God's book and believe it by faith that Christ rose from the grave and now sits at the right hand of God. Like I said, there is no sin there. When Christ comes for us, he's not going to come with a record of our sins, brothers and sisters. It says that when he comes again in the book of Hebrews, it said he comes without sin unto salvation. The record of our sin has been put away forever. We read, Isaiah read it in the Psalm. He's put it away from us as far as the east is from the west. Now, how far is that? You'll not find the end of that, I'm going to tell you. That's how far he's put it away. Now, I want to ask you, do you want to work to try to put your sin away that you'll never accomplish putting away? You can work till the Lord comes, trying to clean yourself up. You know what? Every day, that leaf is just as dirty on one side as it is on the other. You'll never find the end of your sin. But I want to tell you something. I give you a reason for the hope that is within me this morning. I know that my sin, though in this body it's still here, it's been paid for. And that don't make me, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you believe that, you believe you can just go out here and sin. You know what? I don't have that thought in my mind at all. It grieves me in my heart that I sin against my God. Because He paid the price for my sin in His own blood. But I can tell you, He paid for it totally. Forever. It's gone. It'll never be accounted to me again. Never. Now, which would you rather? You want to try to work your sin away that you'll never work away? Well, by God's grace, can you rest in the Lord Jesus Christ and know that your sin is gone, Christ? It was nailed to His cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise God for His grace that He gives, that we can have that kind of assurance. Do you possess it? Has He told you the truth this morning? Has He revealed the truth to you that salvation by God's grace and by God's power through God's own Son, it is salvation from our sin? That's what all of us so desperately need this morning. It's not more money. It's not more things. It's not so many other things that we try to think is, you know, we'll get this and that'll just make us our life perfect. No, what we need is salvation from our sin. This life, guess what? It'll never be perfect. But I have a place of perfection that I can go to today. And that's in my Savior. He's perfect. And He's been perfect for me. It's life. It's freedom. The salvation of God in His Son by His grace is freedom and it is life. And it's forever. May God help us to realize this in His Word, and might He bring it to us in power this morning. Because, brothers and sisters, God spared us because He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Blessed be our God and our Savior and our Lord. May He be glorified this morning. May it please Him to reveal His truth unto us, to reveal Himself unto us, that we might find rest even in these lives, that we might find rest from our labors.